Granny was sitting outside her house when Nanny Og hurried up the path. She was sorting through a sack of old clothes. Elderly garments were scattered around her. And she was humming. Nanny Og started to worry. The Granny Weatherwax she knew didn't approve of music. And she smiled when she saw Nanny, or at least the corner of her mouth turned up. That was really worrying. Granny normally only smiled if something bad was happening to someone deserving.
Why, Geetha, how nice to see you.
You all right, Esme?
Never felt better, dear.
The humming continued.
Sorting out rags, are you? Said Nanny. Going to make that quilt?
It was one of Granny Weatherwax's firm beliefs that one day she'd make a patchwork quilt. However, it is a task that requires patience, and hence, in 15 years, she'd got as far as 3 patches. But she collected old clothes anyway, a lot of witches did. It was a witch thing. Old clothes had personality, like old houses. When it came to clothes with a bit of wear left in them, a witch had no pride at all.
It's in here somewhere, Granny mumbled. Ah-ha, here we are.
She flourished a garment. It was basically pink.
Knew it was here, she went on. Hardly worn either. And about my size, too.
You're going to wear it, said Nanny. Granny's piercing blue cut-you-off-at-the-knees gaze was turned upon her. Nanny would have been relieved at a reply like, No, I'm going to eat it, you daft old fool. Instead, her friend relaxed and said, a little concerned,
You don't think it'd suit me?
There was lace around the collar. Nanny swallowed.
You usually wear black, she said.
Well, a bit more than usually, more like always.
And a very sad sight I look too, said Granny robustly. It's about time I brighten myself up a bit, don't you think?
And it's so very pink. Granny put it aside, and to Nanny's horror took her by the hand and said earnestly,
And, you know, I reckon I've been far too dog in the manger about this child's business, Geetha.
Bitch in the manger, said Nanny Og absent-mindedly. For a moment, Granny's eyes became 2 sapphires again.
What? You'd be a bitch in the manger, Nanny mumbled, not a dog.
Ah. Oh, yes.
Thank you for pointing that out. Well, I thought it is time I stepped back a bit and went along and cheered on the younger folks. I mean, I have to say, I really haven't been very nice to people, have I?
I've tried being nice, Granny went on. It didn't turn out like I expected, I'm sorry to say.
You've never been really good at nice, said Nanny.
Granny smiled. Hard though she stared, Nanny was unable to spot anything other than earnest concern.
Perhaps I'll get better with practice, she said.
She patted Nanny's hand, and Nanny stared at her hand as though something horrible had happened to it.
It's just that everyone's more used to you being firm, she said. I thought I might make some jam and cakes for the produce stall, said Granny.
Oh, good.
Are there any sick people want visiting?
Nanny stared at the trees. It was getting worse and worse. She rummaged in her memory for anyone in the locality sick enough to warrant a ministering visit, but still well enough to survive the shock of a ministering visit by Granny Weatherwax. When it came to practical psychology and the more robust type of folk physiotherapy, Granny was without equal. In fact, she could even do the latter at a distance. For many a pain-racked soul had left their bed and walked, nay, run, at the news that she was coming.
"Everyone's pretty well at the moment," said Nanny diplomatically. "Any old folk want cheering up?"
It was taken for granted by both women that old people did not include them. A witch aged 97 would not have included herself. Old people happened to other people.
"All fairly cheerful right now," said Nanny.
Maybe I could tell stories to the kiddies.
Nanny nodded. Granny had done that once before, when the mood had briefly taken her. It had worked pretty well as far as the children were concerned. They'd listened with open-mouthed attention and apparent enjoyment to a traditional old folk legend. The problem had come when they'd gone home afterwards and asked the meaning of words like disemboweled.
I could sit in a rocking chair while I tell 'em, Granny added. That's how it's done, I recall, and I could make them some of my special treacle toffee apples. Wouldn't that be nice?
Nanny nodded again in a sort of horrified reverie.
She realised that only she stood in the way of a wholesale rampage of niceness.
"Toffee," she said, "would that be the sort you did that shatters like glass, or the sort where our boy Pusey had to have his mouth levered open with a spoon?
I reckon I know what I did wrong last time."
"You know you and Sugar don't get along, Esme. Remember them all-day suckers you made?"
"They did last all day, Geetha."
"Only 'cause our Pusey couldn't get it out of his little mouth until we pulled two of his teeth, Esme. You ought to stick to pickles. You and pickles goes well."
"I've got to do something, Geetha. I can't be an old grump all the time."
"I know. I'll help at the trials. Bound to be a lot that needs doing, eh?"
Nanny grinned inwardly. So that was it.
"Why, yes," she said. "I'm sure Mrs. Earwig will be happy to tell you what to do."
"And more fool her if she does," she thought, "because I can tell you're planning something."
"I shall talk to her," said Granny. "I'm sure there's a million things I could do to help if I set my mind to it."
"And I'm sure you will," said Nanny heartily. "I've a feeling you're going to make a big difference."
Granny started to rummage in the bag again.
"You are going to be along as well, aren't you, Geetha?"
"Me?" said Nanny. "I wouldn't miss it for the world."